Maybe they were the only rock musicians ever really worthy of the name The Band. They backed up Bob Dylan, made the cover of Time, and inspired director Martin Scorsese to make a documentary about their final concert. 25 years later, the film and the concert recording are back. David Darcy reports.
It was guitarist and songwriter Robbie Robertson who decided to disband the band after 16 years together.
We're going to do one more song, that's it.
He also decided that the group built on understatement would go out with a bang on stage, and he arranged to record it all on 35mm celluloid.
I wasn't interested in getting documentary filmmakers with shaky 16mm cameras wobbling around and doing basically what everybody's done before. We really wanted to make a movie experience, you know, that starts you somewhere and takes you on this journey, and you go somewhere in this, and you connect with some people in the experience, and to do it better and in a much more special way than it ever had been done before.
The Last Waltz combined concert footage and tableaus shot later on a soundstage assembled to make the musicians look like figures in a music box. Director Martin Scorsese also interviewed band members, including the late pianist, singer, and songwriter Richard Manuel. Manuel explained how the group settled on its non-name.
We started out with the Crackers. We tried to call ourselves the Honkies. Everybody kind of backed off from that. It was too straight. So we decided just to call ourselves The Band.
Before the band became characters in a Martin Scorsese film, and before the musicians made the cover of Time magazine, they were four Canadians and a drummer from Arkansas backing up rockabilly singer Ronnie Hawkins. In the film, band members recall playing for one-armed topless dancers in windowless beer joints. Drummer Levon Helm remembers their first gigs in New York.
In New York, it was an adult portion. That was an adult dose. So it took a couple of trips, you know, to get into it. You just go in the first time and you get your ass kicked and you take off. As soon as it heals up, you come back and you try it again. Eventually, you fall right in love with it.
Helm and the band played their final concert on Thanksgiving of 1976 at Winterland in San Francisco. The five-hour show featured a parade of guest performers from Joni Mitchell to Neil Young, Neil Diamond, and the Staples Singers.
Take a load off, Fanny.
Director Martin Scorsese says he agreed to film The Last Waltz because he was a fan of the band and because he says almost all of his movies are about music anyway.
I mean, in Mean Streets particularly, music is as important as the dialogue or as the story or as the main characters. It's really a main character in my films, and particularly in Mean Streets. And then in New York, New York, I was experimenting with shooting music in a special way, four, five, six bars of music of one particular song in one shot. Or maybe 12 bars in one shot, but no coverage. In other words, almost doing pretty much what Busby Berkeley had done. Not as elaborate as Busby Berkeley, but because New York, New York had to do with big band music, and the band was pretty static, so I could move the camera around. And then I applied that idea to Last Waltz.
What Scorsese decided to leave out of the frame was the audience.
Why show the audience? I mean, in the beginning you show a little bit, but basically have the audience from the reverse, you know? In a way, you concentrate on the community on the stage, on these men and women on the stage performing and how they relate to each other.
Just as the band was breaking up, Martin Scorsese thought his career had foundered. He had no new projects after shooting New York, New York, and he was thinking about leaving the country. Scorsese says that The Last Waltz, and particularly Robbie Robertson, helped change his mind.
He was quiet. He was cool. I was excitable. I guess I needed somebody to calm me down. He kind of got me creatively excited, and I think he was interested in what I was doing, and somehow we just started hanging out together and kept talking about music and films. That was really the crux of the relationship, pushing each other. I was concerned about the type of film I would make next. I didn't know if I could even make another film, quite honestly, or one that was coming from my heart, and I think Last Waltz made that transition for me.
For some of the musicians, it was a less happy moment. Garth Hudson, who played organ, accordion, saxophones, and other instruments, says success put the band in an entertainment world that some of them despised.
It's very difficult to come up with songs consistently, album after album. I thought Robbie did an admirable job, and I would guess that he was tired of doing that kind of work, and that's what happened, I think. It was no longer as interesting a picture as far as the touring and the real life stuff. That was over. You know, we were living in houses in Los Angeles, and it's quite a ways away from Biloxi and West Helena and Memphis and all those places where the heart and soul of the material came from.
Through the 1980s and into the 90s, some of the band members reformed and toured. Richard Manuel hanged himself in 1986. Rick Danko died in 1999. Robbie Robertson never joined them for any of the reunions, but now Robertson, who's an executive with DreamWorks, is certain that a band revival can win fans among a generation born after the Last Waltz concert and raised on music videos.
I think that young people do understand the difference between a piece of work and a commercial, and music videos are commercials. And I don't think that people nowadays, you know, say, well, because I've seen these commercials, there's no way that I can understand watching The Godfather. Some people are like, I need to know where things come from. I need to know, like, all the music that I'm listening to today, who were these people inspired by?
Robertson's work will be heard soon on another film. He's music supervisor for Martin Scorsese's upcoming Gangs of New York. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in New York.